We were wild in the late 60s as students. I remember Wild Wednesdays. 7:25, Star Trek. 8:15, Softly Softly. 10 o'clock, Sports Night with Coleman. Ah, memories. Man, we walked the edges. Remembering matters. Who could fail to be moved by the haunting words of Scotty, engineer of the Starship Enterprise, when crisis closed around him and he found himself accused of a murder he had no recollection of being involved in? Unable to make sense of the nightmare, his world fell about his ears, and he asked if he'd committed the crime. He uttered in that authentic Scottish accent the plaintive cry, "I canna remember, Captain!" The gift of memory is a precious, precious thing. I often reflect at funerals how wonderful it is that we have the ability to recollect moments shared, laughter enjoyed, incidents and tales that go into family folklore and are told and retold about this time or that. If we were unable to do that, how bare and spare and poverty-stricken our grieving would be. When we encounter loss of memory in individuals, a kind of bereavement happens. Something diminishes in us when we can't hold on to things that happened, things that make us who we are. Which is why not to have Remembrance Sunday would be to diminish us, rob us of something of our dignity as people able to remember with reverence and with thanks the men and women we owe. People who say, "History is bunk. What's history? Just a lot of stuff that happened a long time ago." Those people risk losing touch with those factors that shaped now, on which now is built. And when we're cut adrift from our roots, we become just that, rootless and callous and trapped in self-interest and entitlement. History is, in fact, grafted onto who we are now, how we live now. We get sick pay because of history. We have rights because of history. We have education because of history. We have freedom because of history. We can't grasp or understand who we are if we dismiss our links to that precious past on which our present and our future are built. "Husbands, beware," he said from his vast experience. "Forget your anniversaries at your peril. Forget your wife's birthday at your own risk. They say they don't mind. They lie." And why is it so hurtful when key moments are not recalled? Why are key life events celebrated and revisited? Because we are that person, born on that day, all those years ago. It means something. It matters. And this marriage is the relationship begun on that wonderful day, all those years ago. There is an integrity of connection that deserves honour. And reminding ourselves of that indicates the value we put on who we are, the relationships we enjoy, the privileged times we live in. So it's vital for our own sense of personhood and worth to make quality time for things that matter. Time for each other, time to remember and celebrate the story so far, time set apart for children or elderly parents. Because when we give time, we give ourselves. Any kid with an ounce of insight will prefer time spent with you to some gift offered as a way out of spending time. When I had to meet my divorced father every second Saturday, it was the law. He thought he had done enough paying me into the cinema, giving me money for a chalk ice, and then buzzing off to the bookmakers for the afternoon and collecting me at 4 o'clock, smelling strangely of drink and loss. This is why it's vital that we take time out, allow for mindfulness, for nurturing marriage, for the quality things, for sustaining family, for relaxing and reassessing our life, for remembering. An article in a national newspaper reminded us of, if we needed reminding, reminded us of the fact that combining the world of work and the needs of the home is a pretty stressful business. Quote from the Scotsman. GPs have reported a massive increase in patients visiting their surgeries suffering from stress and exhaustion. Doctors tell us that the pressures of modern life are to blame, with people struggling to cope with the often extraordinary demands of their working and personal lives. Longer working hours, the expectations and the need to succeed, parents balancing work and home, have all taken their toll. Lethargy, depression and tiredness have become common complaints. Burnout is particularly affecting people aged between 26 and 35. And there's a price to be paid, the article goes on. The epidemic is estimated to be costing the NHS £633 million. Faced with this kind of crisis, plenty of analysts for By the Church have called on people to take time out. To make time out. A whole culture of New Age potions and lotions, theories and alternative lifestyle options has sprung up to address the need for space, for quiet, for reflection, for inner healing. Yoga, submersion tanks, reflexology, massage, aromatherapy, and so on. All designed to enable us to make space for the inner person, the quieter moments of potential healing and growth. Remembering what our priorities are. The Jews didn't have these New Age remedies for stress. They had the Sabbath. When you hear it described for how it was meant to be, it sounds rather fine. It sounds rather fun. The Jewish scholar Montefiore says this: the Sabbath, with its exhortation to the worship of God and the doing of kindly deeds, reminds us week by week of the higher objects. It prevents us from reducing our life to the level of a machine. The gathered experience of mankind that the break in the routine of work one day in seven will heighten the value of the very work itself is not lightly to be put aside. He goes on, the Sabbath is one of the glories of our humanity. For if to labour is noble, of our own free will to pause in that labour, which may lead to money, success or fame, may be nobler still. To dedicate one day a week to rest and to God, this is the prerogative and the privilege of humanity alone. It is an ordinance we might rightly call divine. But of course, like so many good ideas, people got hold of it and made it a prison. What was meant to bring liberty and release from pressure became a dead weight. Law and regulation took over the debate, and instead of joy and healing, you got, after many centuries, the Scottish Sabbath experience. Dour faces, intimidating social pressures, and a huge bad press for Christianity, enabling the mockers to mock with no little justification. What was intended to be a special time to remember a relationship with God, a bit of Godfulness, to stop the bus and take five, take a whole day to rejuvenate the soul, to feed the spirit with worship and learning, to bind the family together in a shared delight in God, to build the church up into a community of serving, committed and empowered people, became instead a debate about whether you should read the Sunday Times on a Sunday or you ought to wait till Monday, whether you should cook the dinner the day before and leave the washing up till the next day. Curtains were closed, laughter was frowned upon, the swings in the play park were padlocked, and fun was off the menu for the day. The vital principle at the heart of the true Sabbath experience remains intact. It is important that we stop and think. It is vital that we take time out to remember people who are precious to us, people who made us who we are and gave us the chance to be who we are. It's important that we take time out to reaffirm our sense of wonder that men and women rose to the crisis that faced our nation and at a cost we cannot comprehend saved us from disaster. I was profoundly shocked when I saw them. Three plaques on the wall of the little church in Kilrenny, a wee village on the east coast of Scotland. Stone plaques in memory of three young men killed in the war, one airman and two soldiers from the one family, all in their 20s. What shocked me most was that the three young men were the sons of the minister. how he stood in church and prayed and preached with a grief so deep and sore on his heart, beggars belief. I cannot forget what it must have cost that one family. Nor should I. We owe them their day of remembrance, do we not? We owe them our humble and deeply felt silence. Stop doing that. Be too busy for that. Be too morally superior for that. And you become coarsened with self-centeredness and blind to your true identity. Stop doing worship. Be too busy for that to take time, to carve out time for the quality moment of worship, when we can recover our souls and grow in faith, and we lose out. We risk missing out on the healing, the peace, the perspective that we find here, that is grace given to us here, as we remember who we are, how much we are loved, how kind is our God. Oh yes, taking time to remember matters.